In the jungles of Africa, there was a traveling party going along, and they had been making a long trip, and they were on the first day of the long trip, and the traveler, the guy that wanted to make the safari into the deep jungles of Africa, had to hire some of the local people to help him make the journey through the land that he didn't know. They knew it. He needed them. So the first day that they got out into the jungle, they made a march, and it was rather rapid. I mean, they set a pace and they kept the pace going, and they went a long way on the first day. And the evening came, and the traveler was thinking to himself, "Now we've made a good start on our journey into the jungle. I can get on my safari very soon." And he had high hopes that he would get to the place he needed to go quickly, now that the first day was behind them and they had set a pretty good clip. They had set a pretty good pace. But the second morning dawned, and the traveler got up early and began to muster all the guys that he had hired to help him on this journey, all the jungle tribesmen. And he would say, get up, it's time to go. It's time to get on the road, and let's make another day like we did yesterday, and we'll be doing really well. Matter of fact, we'll be ahead of schedule some, and that's grand. That's what I want to do if we can possibly do it. But on this particular morning, the second morning, the jungle tribesmen sat still. At the traveler's inquiry, at the hunter's inquiry, "Let's go, let's go, let's go," it meant nothing to them. Wasn't that they couldn't understand it. They just sat. Wouldn't move. Didn't say much. Didn't go anywhere. And it made the traveler rather uneasy. And he was thinking to himself, "This is strange behavior. I don't understand what's going on." And finally this guy began to inquire through the ranks of the help that he had hired. And he said, "What's going on here? I don't understand why these guys won't get up and let's go. We made a good time yesterday. Matter of fact, we covered a lot of ground yesterday. It was good. And then all of a sudden today, we could really make some time. And they're sitting still, wasting precious daylight hours. And I don't understand. Why are they just sitting around? Why are they just sitting there?" And he was told this about jungle tribesmen. They told him that they had gone too fast the first day, and that now the jungle tribesmen were sitting around waiting for their spirits to catch up to him or to them. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you just run, you just have to take some time to sit down and wait for everything else to kind of catch up to you? The psalmist in Psalm 42 felt that way. Matter of fact, you have your Bibles, open them there, and we're going to look at Psalm 42 tonight. It's a beautiful psalm. It's the introductory psalm of book number 2. If you look into the Psaltery, you'll find that it's divided into several books. This is the opening psalm of book number 2. Actually, book number 2 will go from Psalm 42 all the way to 72, and then you'll pick up book number 3. But tonight, we're going to keep our attention here in Psalm 42. Again, it's interesting to note that this is a psalm of music. It is a song that the psalmist wrote. And we look at it together, Psalm 42, and the psalmist writes or sings these words. I want you to watch the progression that the psalmist goes through throughout this psalm. Listen to the tone changes. Listen to the way that he goes up and then he comes down. And then he goes up again and he asks some serious questions. It's all in these first few verses. Let's look at them together. Verse 1. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the progression to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throne. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizir. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love. At night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffered mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Did you notice how up and down he went, up and down he went, and made some observations and asked some questions? When you begin to dissect the psalm and you begin to take it apart and really look at it and understand what's going on within it, you'll find that this psalm is talking about what it means to be spiritually dry. He mentions water several times. But in it, we hear the heartfelt cry of the psalmist for God to restore life and passion, a life and passion that he once knew. Matter of fact, it's interesting to me that in the psalm he says, there were times when I led the procession into the house of God. I was the leader. I was shouting for joy. I was giving thanksgiving to God. I was among the festive throne. At one time he was an active participant in the worship of Almighty God. And yet I hear him say things too, like, why is my soul so downcast? And he asked God the question, why are you forgetting me? Why am I being forgotten by Almighty God? And then he makes some positive statements like, soul, put your trust in God. It's where your faith should go. It's where your hope lies. But all in all, when you break it apart, you see that the psalmist at this point in his life is experiencing a time of spiritual dryness. He had grown indifferent toward the sacred events that once had thrilled him, and he was now needing time for his soul to catch up with his body. He sat down, wouldn't move, waiting for spirit, soul, and body to come together again. And to once again have perspective on his life. I think it's interesting to note verses 1 and 2 that in these verses he says, my soul pants for God like a deer pants for water when it's running. But then immediately following that, it's as if he cannot find God. He can't seem to find him where he once found him. Verse 4 recalls that he once led the throne into a throne of people in procession to the Lord, and now he can't even find God himself. He finally closes the psalm by posing some important questions to himself in verse 11, and the truth ultimately comes through in verse 11. It is a psalm of spiritual dryness. He's talking about what it means when you come to grips in those times in your life where you can't find Him. You just can't seem to find Him. He's never left you, but it just is a spiritually dry time in your life. Let me make some observations about spiritual dryness that I think hopefully will help us. Observation number one, if the psalmist experienced those times of spiritual dryness, don't you think every one of us would probably be in the same boat because we're human just like him? So we can make that observation. Every Christian experiences at some time or another a time of lowness. And it may be in varying degrees. I've spoken to some who were scraping rock bottom. They were spiritually dry, like dusty dry. And I've spoken to some who have just begun the descent. into a spiritually dry time. So it's in varying degrees. And some will not go all the way to the bottom. Some will pick right up and refocus. But what I want you to understand is that every Christian experiences it at some time in their walk, in their journey. If you're heavily involved in ministry, it is an occupational hazard. If you're, and pastors, you guys know, I guess, and Sunday school teachers, and if you're involved in ministry, everyone, it's not just pastors, it's not people who are professionally called to ministry. But if you're involved in ministry of any kind, it's an occupational hazard to find those times of dryness and spiritual difficulty. Because you spend your life for others. And one of the things that we don't do real well is recover. We don't take time out for spiritual retreat. I recall the story of Jesus just after John the Baptist had been beheaded. He told his men, he said, "Guys, we've spent ourselves. We've ministered to the multitudes. And now one who was close to us is died. He's been killed." And they were experiencing some low time. And Jesus knew it. And you'll recall the story, and you'll recall what Jesus said to his men. He said, and it's where we our devotional guide, Come Ye Apart, it's where we got our title from for those several years, the many years that we read Come Ye Apart. But Jesus looked at his guys and said, "Okay, we're spiritually dry. We've given, and given some more. It's time for us to go on a retreat. We need to be refreshed." And so he told them, "Come ye apart and rest a while." We're not real good at separating ourselves to resting. We're like the traveler. The first day we made a real good showing. I mean, we walked fast. We got a lot of miles behind us. And we want to do it on the second day too. And then on the third day after that. And on the fourth and fifth and sixth day until we're just walked into weariness. And when you're weary, you're no good to anybody. You need an opportunity to refresh yourself. The psalmist was a weary person. At one point, in the very beginning, he said, "My soul pants after God, like a deer pants after the water brook." And then he talks about how he went on the downslide. At one point, he said, "I was gung-ho. I was shouting the praises of God. I was leading the procession into the very places of God for worship." And now he finds himself spent. He finds himself weary. He finds himself in need of rest and refreshment. And so if you're heavily involved in ministry, it's an occupational hazard that sometimes you will experience those times of spiritual dryness. I've experienced them. I know what it is. And I know what a refreshing time it is just to step back for a while. A couple of days. A week. Just to step back. Not spend anything, but just refresh. Just take in. Rest. Relax. Eat some good food for a change. You know, quit eating the McDonald's and the junk food that you pick up because you're in a hurry and you can go through the drive-thru window and snatch it up. Big Macs. Take some time out to eat some peas and butter beans and the good stuff that makes you feel like you're strong and ready to do something for God. Or maybe tomato sandwiches. Oh boy, that is like eating beefsteak. I love a fresh tomato sandwich. I got some at the farmer's market the other day and went home, and I don't know how many tomato sandwiches I've eaten since then. Hallelujah. I'm refreshed and ready to go. Then there are causes and cures for this spiritual dryness, though. And they're not only for ministers, they're also for laymen as well. So I want to share them with you tonight. And let's look at them. We won't look at them in depth. I'll just give them to you and we can mull them over and you can think about them. But if you're experiencing spiritual dryness, it could be one of the eight causes that I've got listed here. It may not be one of these eight causes. It may be a cause that I didn't think about. Each one of us will be different. But these are just to get you thinking, to help you get back on the road to that spiritual vitality and to a prosperous ministry. So when you talk about spiritual dryness, there could be several causes that make that happen in your life. Number one, I've talked about it a little bit already, it's physical exhaustion. You're not good for anything when you're exhausted. It's difficult to focus. It's difficult to function. It's difficult to think properly and rationally. They tell us in professionally, he said, if you ever have a difficult decision to make, do not make it while you're tired. Take it home, put it to bed, rest, find a refreshment, and don't make it while you're exhausted. And once you've recuperated and once you've rested, then you can look at it more rationally and make that decision. So physical exhaustion is one cause of spiritual dryness. Are you tired? If you have a lot of hours at work, you just put in hour after hour after hour. Maybe you've had a lot of emotional things happen at work. I don't know. I think about the paper mill and all the things those guys and gals have had to go through. It's been a roller coaster ride for them. And that can cause not only physical exhaustion, but some mental and emotional exhaustion as well. And in those points, it's tough sometimes to see God. It's tough sometimes to touch God. It's tough sometimes to think, wow, well, where are you really? Where are you? And He's never moved. He didn't move. It's just that our body is needing some recuperation. And we need to rest and relax and refocus our attention. So physical exhaustion could be one of the causes of this spiritual dryness. Another cause of spiritual dryness just could be a cool spiritual environment. I mean, it could be a church. It could be the fact that you've just laid down your devotional life for a while and you haven't picked it up. And your life is becoming cooler and cooler and cooler. I'm a champion for staying current devotionally. I know what it'll do because I know what it does when you lay it down, because I've done it before. I put it aside. I haven't been as devotional as I should have. And this is years ago when I was pastoring. I noticed that I would put my devotional life down for a while. And you say, well, you're always in the Word. Yes, you are. You are always in the Word. You're always planning. You're always looking to preach or planning to preach or something like that. But my brothers and sisters tell me, listen to me, I'm going to tell you it's different than devotional living. I mean, it's good, and I get blessed when I'm trying to get ready to preach. I do, really. But it's different. It's a different type of work. It's a different type of attitude. It's a different type of focus than when I am personally involved with reading the Word and praying and seeking God on my behalf and behalf of others that I choose to intercede for. It's a different story. So, putting the devotional life behind you will cause some spiritual dryness. A cooling off of your spiritual environment. A cooling off of your devotional time could cause spiritual dryness. May I take it one step further? And if you lay aside your devotional time and you begin to cool off, that could very well lead to backsliding. And that's a dangerous, dangerous position to be in. You don't want to get there. You don't want to get there. Another, when you're talking about this cool spiritual environment, another way to quench the spirit or to start a dive into spiritual dryness is not be obedient to the Holy Spirit when he's active and moving and speaking to your heart. It's called conviction. When God has convicted your heart, it's time to move right then. There must be a reason. He's come to you and convicting you of something in your heart. He wants you to move then. If we choose not to move, then our spiritual environment cools off. And here's the danger. It will take a higher tide of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to reach your heart next time. Now, how high do you want that tide to get? It could go to the place where you do not hear His voice. You say, but He will always speak. But if you continue to disobey His speaking, that environment cools even more. And it could be you get to the place where it takes an extremely high tide of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to reach your heart in convicting power. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Well, I took that one a little bit too far, a little bit further than I wanted to go, but there are a couple of causes: physical exhaustion and a cool spiritual environment. Number one, another one, number three, is extensive spiritual output. Could be that it could be that you're ministering to an individual. Say, I think of I think of hospice, for instance. That organization, to me, is one of the greatest organizations ever created. Those are some of the most tender and compassionate people, and I've watched them work in cases, case after case, in cases I've been involved in here at this local church. I've watched them work. And you give and you give and you give, and you give extensively. If you continue to give without getting, devotionally, through prayer, regular prayer to God, give without getting, then you begin to cool off. And you could experience spiritual dryness when you're giving and you have an extensive spiritual output. Continually giving, continually offering over to somebody else's cause, then you could experience spiritual dryness. And not just hospice. I mean, that could be anything. That could be a Sunday school class. You need to stay current with your devotional life if you're teaching a Sunday school class, because that's a continual output of spiritual experience. You're continually giving a spiritual output. And so you need to be on your guard and keep current devotionally in order to stay on top. A fourth cause could be opposition. And we talked a little bit about peacemaking Sunday night. That's one of the Beatitudes. Jesus obviously thought it was important that we be peacemakers. Folks, there's going to be times when we don't see eye to eye. There are going to be times when opposition comes. But will you respond to opposition or will you react to opposition? They're two distinctly different ways to look at opposition. Here's an example, and I'm a little hesitant to give it to you because this is the old me. I cannot stand for somebody to tailgate me. I can't. You have no sense whatsoever if you tailgate a person, because what if they slam on the brakes? You don't have time. You're not that good. You don't have time to react. You're not that. You may be intelligent, but you can't do it on a heartbeat. I mean, I've seen them, and it's bad news. And so how do I do it? Used to, I reacted. How do you react? I'll tell you how I reacted. I popped that brake, stopped, and I see them head dive, just like that. And I think to myself, I showed them. But you ain't showed them nothing. You've just succeeded in making them mad. And then here we go. You know, one right after another. So that's reacting. Responding. Find a comfortable place to pull off the road and allow them to go around you. That's responding. You see, they're two different things. Now, Joel Watson taught me that. I didn't know you could do that. I honestly didn't. He deserves a crown because he taught Katie how to drive. He didn't teach her how to drive. He had her in driver's education. I think I taught her or tried to teach her how to drive, and he deserves a crown. Believe me, he really does. He does. But I told him about that one day, or maybe it was in Sunday school class. That's where it was. And he told me afterwards, he said, let me tell you what you do. He said, you pull off the side of the road and let them pass you. Well, for this power-hungry people, we don't want to do that. We want to slam on our brakes and make this guy dive, you know, like that. We showed him. No, reacting and responding are two different things. So in opposition, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to react or are you going to respond? I think it's important. And that lends itself to spiritual dryness as well. If we react, then we may have some repenting to do. And if we respond, then God is pleased, and someone else may say, wow, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't be tailgating because that caused him some time delay in his journey. Okay, number five. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, just the cycles of life will cause some difficulty. I have had no problem turning 40. I had no problem turning 45. I had no problem turning 50 nor 51. I am just as happy and content. I feel as good at 51 as I think I did at 20. I'm not real sure. I can't remember that far back. But some folks have trouble making the age change. That's a cycle of life. You will go through difficult cycles of life. Some are biological. Others are psychological. But you go through those times, and it's difficult sometimes to make it through them. You just have to depend on the Lord to give you strength to do it. But if we allow those cycles of life to get on top and rule and reign us, then we can begin to experience some spiritual dryness during those times. So that's just one to throw in there. I've seen it happen, and it's not going to happen to you guys. TV and the media. Do I need to say anything else about that? Probably not. If you get tied up in TV and the media, news media, there's not any good news. Some people say CNN's a little better than Fox. I don't. They're all right-wing liberals as far as I'm concerned, or left-wing liberals. Which side of the wing are they on? Other way around? Okay, left? Okay. Am I a right-winger? Okay. So they're left. Whatever. If we get tied up and we begin to listen to their philosophy, it could be dangerous. And stuff like that could lend itself to spiritual dryness. What about extended temptation? That's the next one. That's number 7. You find yourself involved in extended temptation, and I don't know in what. I mean, you could fill in the blank there. It doesn't matter. You could experience temptation when it comes to Rick's barbecue. You could like it so much that you just spend every last penny you got on Rick's barbecue. Now that's an inept illustration, isn't it? But my point is, anything could become a temptation to us if it's going to destroy us spiritually. So extended periods of temptation could lend itself to spiritual dryness. We could talk about the more serious ones, like lust. You could talk like addictions of some kind. Extended periods of temptation could lead to spiritual dryness. And so we just have to be careful with those and be sure that God is in control and He's helping us in those areas. Disobedience. We're in this mess of a world because of disobedience. Somebody somewhere down the line, back there when Adam and Eve were in the garden, decided it would be good to do it their own way. And when that happened, it's been going downhill ever since. Disobedience, my brothers and sisters, could lead to spiritual dryness. So how are you in the obedience category? Everything okay? I mean, you're obeying God. You know He's helped you. And every time He's spoken and convicted your heart, then you've obeyed. Then everything's all right. But disobedience can lead to spiritual dryness. Now, we've looked at 8 causes. Let's look at 7 cures real quick. How do we do this? How do we get out of this mess? How does this thing happen? Okay, I gave you 7. Although this is not an exhaustive list, you can add yours as well. I don't know how you get out of spiritual dryness. These are some things that have helped me. Number 1, praise and thanksgiving. Just get alone somewhere where nobody can listen. Take your Bible, think of a hymn, praise Him, glorify Him, praise Him. If it takes verbal praise, then get out in the cornfield somewhere and just let it roll. L.B. Hicks, you remember? Anybody remember him? Some of you do. Lawrence B. Hicks. He wasn't kin, although I claim kin if somebody didn't know it. He wasn't kin to me. He was from Kentucky, and we're from Alabama and the Holy Land, and somewhere up Virginia and places like that. But Lawrence B. Hicks taught me a lesson. I heard him preach one time, and he said, you know, when I get to the place where I just can't seem to get hold of Him, he said, I go to the cornfield where nobody else can hear me. Nobody's out there, way out in the middle of the cornfield. And when I get out there, I've been chastised by using some of the language that he used, but I'm going to use it tonight and depend on the chastisement too. He would say, I'd get out in that cornfield and I would get loose. You know what he meant by that? He would just start praising God. And if you ever heard L.B. Hicks shout, you know he could shout. When God got on him, you knew it. That was his cure. He would get out there and just get alone with God and just find Him again. And when you're out in the middle, when you're in nature, it's not hard to find God. I could find God in a bird. I've seen red birds just come in light, and I can find God in a red bird. I can find God in a hummingbird, or a majestic hawk, or you name it. We see God all around us. He's given us evidences. Romans chapter 1 says we are men without excuse because He has given us every evidence of the presence of God all around us. We have no excuse. So praise and thanksgiving. You want to get out of this spiritual dryness, then try praise and thanksgiving. Thank Him. My brothers and sisters, we're the most blessed people on this earth. We can find something to thank God for. I thank God for the rain this morning. And enjoyed getting wet while I was in it. It was all right. That's something to praise God for. It'll help you get out of that spiritual dry season. Time alone with God, extended. Sometimes you just need to get alone with Him. 3, 4 hours, 5 hours, maybe a day, maybe a couple of days. Maybe it's all right for you to take a prayer retreat every once in a while. That's all right. Sometimes it takes time alone with God, getting alone with Him. Try soul winning. I had a Sunday school teacher in Nashville Bethel Church where I was a minister of music. Gerald Palmer was the pastor. Loretta Gazaway was her name. I'll never forget her as long as I live. Her husband was killed on a motorcycle. And she taught a Sunday school of junior high boys. She was a strong woman. She was a neat gal. And she would testify, she said, sometimes I get so lonesome and sometimes I get to the place where I just cannot touch God. And she says, when I get there, I just take up my purse and I get in my car and I get out and I go calling on my Sunday school class. And she said, it isn't long before God is there and He's blessing me again. You ought to try it sometime. Soul winning. Getting out. Talking to somebody about Jesus. You have a testimony. If you're here tonight and God has done some marvelous things in your life and He saved you and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have a testimony that needs to be shared with somebody in your sphere of influence. And if you share it, see if that spiritual dryness doesn't leave in a hurry. Soul winning. Talking about Jesus. And then another cure would be maybe to be accountable to a trusted friend. I have a trusted pastor friend in North Georgia that I'll call every once in a great while just to say, pray about this or pray about that, and he'll do the same thing for me. He'll call and said, after all the pleasantries and the chit-chat is over, we'll get down to the nitty-gritty of it. And he said, really we need to talk to God about this particular thing. It's a way to help. It's an accountability. It's a neat thing. It's a way to curb the spiritual dryness, to know somebody is out there that knows you and understands you and is willing to pray for you and accept you for who you are. And when I call him, I can just tell him, say, hey man, you need to talk to God about this, because if you don't, I can see trouble for my own self. So accountability to a trusted friend. Step of faith. Sometimes you just need to step out of the boat. You remember Jesus walking on the water, and all the guys were in the boat, and Jesus said, Peter was there and said, Lord, is it really you? Oh yeah, it's me. Well, prove it. Tell me to come walking on the water. Well, come on. Now, I've got my own idea about this. I think Peter took the step of faith. He got out of the boat, walked on the solid water. Now, we know what he did. We know he took his eyes off Christ and down he went. And the Lord should have let him go down about the third time before he snatched him up, but he didn't. What I'm assuming is that those guys who were in the boat with Peter, and when the Lord said, get out of the boat and come on over this way, that Peter got out and the other guys in the boat, the Bible doesn't say this, I said it's my own idea, the other guys in the boat were saying, wow, that could have been me. That could have been me. I could have gotten out. I could be walking on the solid water. I could have a testimony like that, but I chose to stay in the boat. A lot of us choose to stay in the boat instead of getting out, sometimes a blind step of faith, and walk on the solid water. But then Jesus is there. Jesus is there. So, step of faith. Sometimes just get out and go. Rest and relaxation. I've already talked to you about that. That could be a cure. And then number 7, there are times, my brothers and sisters, when we just need to confess and come clean with God. We just need to tell Him, I don't know where you are. I confess that I'm doubting right now. I don't know where you are. Or it could be the fact that there's sin in your life and that's the cause of the spiritual dryness. And if that's the case, then you come to Him, you repent of it, you confess of it, and you get up, you brush yourself off and let Jesus brush yourself off and walk on down the road spiritually with Him. Don't let Satan get the upper hand. One of the things that gets on my nerves in a hurry is for us to begin to testify and give Satan all the credit. Well, the devil's been on my back this week. The devil did this or the devil did that. Come on, man. God is on the throne. He is the one. Give praise to Him. Don't give praise to the devil. The devil's looking for a foothold. Don't hold the door wide open for him. We give the devil place too many times. Yes, I know he's tempting. Yes, I know he's strong. Yes, I know. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. He's got to have some strength. But my Bible tells me that there's not a war that Christ has never won. He's always won his wars. Matter of fact, if you read the back of the book, he wins. So we're on the winning team. So give God the praise. Give God the glory. And if there's sin in your life, confess it, get up, brush yourself off, and walk on down the lane, the straight and narrow. And let God do the work. Some other thoughts, closing up. Sometimes when we're in spiritual dryness, it could be that God is demanding new growth and maturity from us. It could be that you need to move on up the ladder. It could be that it's time for you to get off the milk bottle and start craving T-bone steak for once. It could be that He wants you to move on up and get on out and mature a little bit. Or an introduction into who He really is. I just want you to know who I am. And I want you to know me for who I am and not for what I can give you. A lot of times we're satisfied with what God can give us and that's the only God we want to know. But hey, there's more to Him than just a giving God. There's a loving, caring companion who wants to make every decision with you and be with you in every area of your life, no matter what. He wants you to see Him more than just a kind, big Santa Claus in the sky. I know that's trivial. I know that's juvenile. But a lot of times that's the way we view Him. He wants, if we're going through a time of spiritual dryness, it could be He wants us to just to look at Him and say, wow, You are the Creator and You be the created. Instead of the created demanding something from the Creator. Just relish in the fact that He knows every intricate detail about you. That's what I said a moment ago. Know the fact, relish the fact that the issues of life and death are in His hands. They're in His balances. That's where the issues of life and death reign. He gives doctors special skills, yes, but He does not give them the ability to give or take away life. That's only in God. So it could be that He just wants you to know Him for who He is and not for what He can give. I like the story about a Native American who went to New York City with a friend. And this Native American, this Indian, stopped in the middle of the street in New York City with all the clattering and the clamoring and the yelling and the screaming and whatever, what have you going on around them. And he says to a friend, listen. Just listen. And the friend says, what? What are you listening for? I mean, there's a million different sounds. What are you listening for? Listen. Do you hear the cricket? Listen to the cricket. And it was a long while he paused, and his friend strained to listen. Couldn't hear it. He was astonished, and he listened some more, and he couldn't hear it. He never did hear that cricket, although his Indian friend kept saying, "That's a refreshing sound. The chirp of a cricket." Now we would argue with him on that, especially when a chirp of a cricket is in the middle of the night in our bedroom. But in this particular case, he was saying, "That's a great sound." And the guy said, "I just can't hear him. What are you listening for? How do you hear it? How do you hear that cricket over all the stuff that's going on?" And he told the man, "You must have amazing ears." And he said, "No, I don't have amazing ears." Here's what he said, the Indian to his friend. He said, "We best hear what we're most consumed with." And then he gave this example. He says, "Watch this." And he reached into his pocket and took out a handful of change and dropped it on the sidewalk. And when he did, he watched as hundreds of pairs of eyes turned to see where that money was. We best hear what we're most consumed with. You're going through a period of dryness. What's consuming you? What is it that has you pulled apart from God? Where are you looking? What are you listening for? Now, the psalmist answered his own query. That's why you have to go to the last verse. Oh, the first verse and the last verse, they kind of go together. But he focused himself and he said, "This is what I have to do to get myself out of this period of dryness." And here was his answer. "My soul, everything within me, everything I am, all I say I am, everything I live, everything about me thirsts for God, for the living God." We're going through spiritual dryness. It could be that our focus is off. Oh, you could have eight or ten causes and seven or eight cures. But check closely at what's consuming you. Check closely what you're consumed with. "My soul," said the psalmist, "pants after God. There's my hope. There's my trust. There's my faith in Him. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." What about you? You all right? Had times of spiritual dryness? Psalm 42 has a great, great prescription for it. Let's pray together. Father, we want to be consumed with You. Everything we are, consumed with who You are. You are Creator God, God Almighty. We glorify Your name. We've suggested some things tonight. We've just suggested what might be cause and what could be cure. When the real stuff is found in what we're consumed with, or better yet, in whom we are consumed, or who we are consumed with. Jesus Christ, help us. Help us to stay focused and to remember that our spiritual life is an eternal destination. It is an eternal thing. So help us to be consumed with You, totally consumed. And in that, relationships make sense and all the things of life will make sense because You have a way of working with us and through us. Lord, if some of our folk tonight find themselves in a spiritually dry land, would You just speak to them? I mean, the things I've said are trivial, but the things You say to them are life-changing. May they have ears to hear, and may they find that precious refreshing, just like our ground found refreshing this morning. in the beauty and the refreshment of the rain that came. I relished it. I basked in the fact that I could get wet. Lord, my soul thirsts after you. Our soul thirsts after you. Help us to be consumed with God. We'll leave this place now, knowing that you'll be with us, going with us and preparing us not only for the remainder of our week, but for the Lord's Day as well. And we look forward to it with great anticipation, and we will come expecting. We make our prayer in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. You guys are so kind. You've listened so attentively. Go home. God bless you.